I just try to be mean at the first to establish a pattern. I don't actually like giving papers because then I have to read it. Did you doubt me? Where's the microphone on that side? Janelle, since it's in front of you, tell me, stand up. Tell me the most important thing you learned last session.
Charisma.
Last session.
What, charisma?
Not last week.
That God is a good God, basically.
You didn't know that before today?
You know, it's extra emphasized today.
Extra. Okay, great. Evelyn, stand up. Tell me what was the most important thing
that
really touched your heart.
Well, that God can do all things. I mean, that He.
I can't hear you. Can you try it again? It's okay. He'll turn it up.
Hello.
He will turn it up.
God will really fulfill His promises to us, not men.
Why was
so
that?
So whatever it is that I'm asking Him, my faith is that He will fulfill it.
Why is that important to you? Why did that touch you?
Because especially with my family.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially the restoration that He always forgive and that He is the only one who will restore each and every one going back to Him.
Yeah, great. Thank you. All right, Pam? Stand and tell us what was the most important thing.
That it's not about what you know or what you do. It's about who you know and what God is really wanting to do for you.
Yeah. Why was that important to you?
It's very timely because ever since Friday, I've been receiving answered prayers. One big answer every single day until today. So I'm waiting for what's in store for me today. And it's very amazing how God is teaching me that it's not about how much I pray. It's not about, I pray, but it's not about how much I pray. I've been feeling that I need to pray more. I felt that I haven't been praying enough. But then during that time when I felt that I haven't been praying enough, God has just really been giving me so much answers. Mm. And right now, it's just really putting things into place and seeing that and re-emphasizing from the last session that it's really about God and His predisposition is to really give you favor. And it's not really about how much you pray or how long you spend time praying. It's really about God, period.
Maybe we should just stop praying altogether. Think how much we could get then. What do you think about that?
No, I think, at least for me, prayer is something that builds me up. It's not really something that builds God up. It's more for me and more for me to know Him more.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Pam. All right, Pastor, you ready for some more?
Yep. All right, let's continue. So we ended up, God is compassionate to all. Next one is, God is good to all. God is good to all. To the sinner, God is good. To the Christian, God is good. God is good to all. Sometimes, I don't know if you remember, I remember we had an argument about this. Remember the Burnhams when they were kidnapped, and it was how long was that? But it was definitely that was long. And then finally they say that the leader Abu Sabaya, I think, was the one he was killed. On the speedboat, I think, in the water, and then after everything, the Burnhams, the wife shared that her husband was continually sharing the gospel to his captors, and so the question that one time we were talking with some friends is, what if Abu Sabaya gave his heart to the Lord before he died? And that was an interesting conversation, because for some, they don't want to see him in heaven. For some, they don't want to see him there. For some, it would be, it can't be. He can't. He said we were talking about what if, but you get, I realized this. God is good to all. God is good to the sinner. God is good to the Christian. And sometimes we have a problem with that. Sometimes we have a major problem with it when we hear seemingly non-Christians pray, and you're wondering, why does God hear the prayer? They didn't pray to God. God didn't answer their prayer. Somebody else answered it, not God. But you got to realize, God is good to all. God sustains all. God is, sabi ko nga, hindi naman na nangyari, nakikita natin, na dahil yung isa salbahe, may ulan tsaka bagyo kung saan lang siya, tapos yung sa tabi niya wala, kasi mabait yung sa tabi niya. Hindi naman nangyari na tumatawid kayo ng kalye, tapos yung masama, lahat ng masama na tumatawid ng kalye, nasa gasaan. Tapos yung mabait, hindi. God is good to all. God is good to you. God is good to others. God is faithful. Psalm 119, verse 89 to 90. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. In other words, there has never been and there never will be a generation which has not and will not experience the faithfulness of God. God has been faithful throughout history. There's nothing we can use in history to doubt the faithfulness of God. Because God has been faithful. And always been faithful. God has a record of faithfulness while man has a record of unfaithfulness. And probably one of the most amazing things that has been running in my mind the last year, few months, is this statement I keep thinking about every so often. It says, God confronted our unfaithfulness with his faithfulness. That up to today, I've been thinking about that. That's been in my mind for a year now, I think. But every time I get to think of it, I'm still amazed by it. That God confronted our unfaithfulness with his faithfulness. God confronted our unfaithfulness with his faithfulness. It has changed some of the way I see things. It has changed the way I deal with anger in my own life. That, hey, if there's somebody else, if there's somebody who has the right to be angry, it's God. But yet, he did not let his anger dictate where we ended up. He confronted our unfaithfulness with his faithfulness. He is a faithful God. The scripture says, though we are unfaithful, yet he remains faithful. What God does in our life, what God wants to do in our life, does not change because of the way we behave or the way we act. God is the same. It doesn't change. One of the amazing things is when you share the gospel, you can actually tell people, which is the truth, that your belief in God doesn't change him, because God is faithful. He never changes. That is amazing. That is an amazing sense of security. That brings an amazing sense of security that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you can actually see what God does in this scripture. You can see who he is in this scripture. And you can be assured thousands of years from here, he's still the same. You can actually have a record of God's faithfulness beyond your life or before your life, because he never changes. Can you imagine if God changes? Then this is all useless. Why? Because you never know what he'll do next. But you know, you may not know the specifics, but you can rest assured with the way he deals with us and the way he'll deal with you, because he has a record of faithfulness. When you're praying, and you may be in a place where I was years ago, but yet you can go back to this scripture and say, hey God, I know my experience with you is not what I see here. Therefore, I want it to be like what I see here, because I know this is true, because he's faithful. He never changes. He never changes. What he says he'll do, he'll do. We serve an amazingly good God. So the question I want us to think about, or maybe you can go and ask in your own time, is how good is your God? What is your image of God? It had to change. Some of the things that I struggled with is I grew up with a sense of competition. My brother and myself were competitors all our life. My dad, to motivate us, would give us prizes. All right, whoever wins gets this. In grades, whoever has better grades is this. So I grew up with this sense of competition, which is why today we still have difficulty talking with each other, because we see each other as competitors in everything. In the image, I'm the good boy, he's the bad boy. In sports, he's the better one. In grades, I'm better. It's always like that. At home, my relatives tell him, why can't you be like Jure? In the world, everybody says he's the brother of Gerard. So I'm known as the brother of Gerard. He's got a better image in the world. So it was always that. We're always competing. So I felt like in life with God, I had to compete with everyone. When you're thinking about prayers, thoughts like, well, my need is nothing compared to the so many needs that are out there. Parang kapal naman ang mukha ko, hihingin ko pa ba ito? Yung mga iba dyan eh, gumagapang na tapos, tinitiis lang na, tapos ako, hihingi pa ako. Di, tiisin mo na. Because you're this thing that's competing. And with people, if God answers this prayer, God, you better answer mine. We gotta be in the same boat here. If not, something's wrong. So you're competing everything. So how good is your God? What image do you have of God? What needs to change? So we serve an amazing good God. And this good God made a promise. Now when you realize how good this God is, the promise now becomes very different from what it used to be. Now the promise now is sure. Now the promise is in a sense a solution to what I'm facing. It's no longer just a statement to encourage you. It's actually a solution to what I'm facing. It's no longer just good advice. It's now a statement that can literally change where you are. Why? Because you realize this God, this good God, made this promise. made this promise. It makes faith exciting. I realize this. Why does faith work? Because God is good. If God wasn't good, faith won't work. Faith works because God is good. Ultimately, I realize this. What's happening in my life is because we serve a good God. Yes. There's nothing in my life, in a sense, there's nothing in my life that makes me deserve what I have more than anyone here. Because we're all in the same boat. We serve the same God, a good God who is our Father. It's so encouraging when you talk to children about faith and when you talk to them about God. It's so refreshing because they just believe it. No questions asked. You tell them, Dad, God's like this. You say, yes, God's like that. And their automatic conclusion is, so let's go to God. There's no argument, but Dad, what if it doesn't happen? There's nothing like that at all. I remember my son, DJ, he was, how old is it? I think he was six years old or something. We had spent Christmas with friends here in Manila and with relatives, and he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it with Ia, and Sophia was still a baby at that time. And so we were on our way home from time here, and they wanted to spend Christmas here again the next year. So he said, all right, we'll spend Christmas there in Manila again next year. So we said, all right, start praying for 5 plane tickets. Okay. Just normal for him. So 5 plane tickets. So every time we remember that throughout the year, 5 plane tickets. Come December, we didn't have the money for 5 plane tickets. So we were looking at our money situation. I said, all right, Dan and myself were talking. We can buy boat tickets for the boat. Wala pa mga promo fares noon. So malaki pa yung gap ng boat tsaka ng plane tickets at that time. So, all right, let's buy the tickets now. So I told TJ, I sat him down and said, TJ, we're not taking the plane, we're taking the boat, but we're going to Manila. And TJ kept saying, why? Because I don't have the money for the plane tickets. But we prayed. I said, TJ, we're going to be in Manila. So we're arguing it. I'm arguing with a six-year-old. And he's telling me God is true, and I'm saying, but I don't have the money. But anyways, we're arguing here. So finally, TJ realizes he's not going to get through me. So he says, all right. So he goes, he plays. By the afternoon, somebody calls us. Now, we didn't tell anyone we were taking the boat. We just told friends we'll be in Manila. And so I get a phone call. I said, Jurey, we heard you're going to Manila for Christmas. I said, yeah, let's get together. Yeah, we're excited, everything like that. We heard you're taking the boat. I said, yeah, why? We don't want you to take the boat. How much is the difference for the boat and the plane? So I said, wait a minute, because I never thought about it. As far as I'm concerned, we're going to Manila, buy the boat. And when I told him, all right, we'll deposit the money by tomorrow morning so you can get the plane tickets. So we refund the boat tickets, we get the plane tickets, and I tell TJ, I'm excited. See, God answered our prayer. I'm excited. My wife and myself, we're excited. Hey, God answered our prayers. I said, TJ, hey, guess what? We have plane tickets. And TJ wasn't excited at all. And just look at me. See, I told you. So this, it just changes everything. It's so normal for them to be in faith. So the promise of God began to change things. I began to realize a few things, that the promise in God is also the word of God. It's also the will of God. Because the promise of God is what God wants to do in your life. What God wants to bring in your life. So the word began to take a different it began to look differently to me now. It wasn't just a place where I got sermons. It wasn't just a place where I got what I needed to do. Now, this was a promise God was making. Somebody said that there's approximately 5,600 plus promises in the Word of God. And I said, wow. I began to ask the question, how much do I know? How many do I know? At 5,600, I began to calculate. If I find one promise a day, it will take me 14 years to discover all the promises of God if I find one promise a day. Now, how many of you know you don't find one promise a day? Because when you find one, don't you stick around there for a while?
Yeah.
You stay there for 6 months, 1 year, and you look at it, and then the next year, you're still... promise, it will take you 14 years. Wow, the promises of God. The Word of God. I began to realize, you remember we talked about faith, the atmosphere of faith is hope. I began to say, realize this is the place you get hope. Because this is said by somebody who never changes. See, if you get your hope from what you see around you, it can change. If you get your hope from your bank account, it can change. I could imagine people in Japan, you have a bank account, but you have nothing to get. You're richer in terms of your bank account. You're richer than most people in the world, but there's nothing there you can use your money on. How rich is that? What hope is that? But here, now, I can have hope. Because it doesn't matter what's happening around me. This is the truth.
Yes.
The Word of God, it's always the truth. It's never a suggestion. It's never a good advice. It's really the truth. Psalm 89, verse 34. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. God's Word is true. We began to now try to look at what this means in our life. We began to incorporate the question in the way we live every day. What does the Word of God say in everything that we face? Everything we face, from our rent money to our tuition fee situation to our vacations that we want to take, from things we want to see, from people we want to see change, people we want to see experience God, we began to ask the question, what does the Word of God say? And this is something that we work with my wife and my kids. We try to incorporate with our kids. No matter how young you are, we have a time where we ask that question. What does the Word of God say? I remember we were in Iloilo. And we were supposed to go to Manila. Pastor Steve said, it's time for you to go to Manila and work with the national office. I said, okay. After about 3 years of waiting, we felt like this was the time. And when we were going here, my wife asked me, said, can we just make sure that we have somewhere to go to when we get there? At least get something decent. Then if we don't like it at a year, we'll look for something which we like. I said, okay, so we went here. I went to, and we've been in the place that we've stayed since we moved here for 8 years now, I think. But I want to say it's not because we really like it. No, I'm just kidding. But we went there, and I was talking to the owner. And the owner said, okay, I talked to her December. And I said, we're moving in April. And she said, I can't hold the unit for you till April. If you want it, I can hold it at most 1 month or 2 months, I think. And I said, okay. So we started talking about this. And finally, we made an agreement. All right. End of January, she'll give us time. I'll make a deposit. By February, I'm going to start paying. And she said, okay, even when I'm still moving in April, which means I'm going to be paying rent in Iloilo and paying rent in Manila, which also meant at that time that what I was getting in Iloilo was less than what I was going to pay rent here in Manila. So we were faced with this. So again, we went back and asked the question, Lord, what does your word say about this? What do you want us to do in this? And we prayed and we got the kids with this. We said, I found a place, but it's going to be like this. So we prayed and we felt like this is the will of God for us. So we took the step. By January, we had the money for the deposit. By February, we had the money for the other month deposit. And we started paying by March, and God was faithful. We're not in debt, and God showed up. And in a lot of things that we do, we begin now to look at the Word of God, because now we realize this is a solution. A promise from God is a solution to something we're facing. I began to realize that there's a promise here for everything that you will ever face in life. So we began to incorporate it. The Word of God, we know this, Isaiah 55 verse 10. It says that the Word of God will not return empty. It will accomplish what it has been sent out to do. The Word of God is powerful. So we began to ask the question, things like that. We began to look at our lives and find out, how does the Word of God work in our lives? And what does the Word of God say about things we face? One of the major things God began to change in our life, the Word of God says, or the Word of God shows us, that your tithe and your offering is not a loss. For many years, I have seen Christians do this, and I've seen pastors do this, and I used to think this way, that you work on your budget, then you put on your tithe and your offering part of your loss column. And I began to realize that, hey, the Word of God does not consider the tithe and offering a loss. It is seed. It is an investment. And if it is an investment, then there's a return. So we began to ask the question, what does that mean for us? It means that when I bring my tithe and my offering, I have an investment that I can pull out from. So now, that means I'm not limited by my salary. Now the question is, how true is this? We began to realize this. If this is seed, what else can we have seed for? So we started looking at other things. We started looking at when it comes to tuition fee. This is a struggle. We'll be having 6 kids in school by this June. And it's been like, we've faced this, and we're asking this question, what can we do, or what does God say about this situation we're facing? And we realize we can sow seeds for this. So we're literally looking for places to sow seed for tuition fee. So we would ask, Lord, where do you want us to sow seed? Because there's a promise that God gives us. There is a harvest to that seed. So we would sow seeds. I remember one time one of the pastors called me, Pastor Jure, I heard you're looking for a place to sow seeds. I said, for tuition fee. I said, okay, yeah. He said, we have this student, his parents died, and it's his last term. He will graduate. The church has been helping him partially for, I think, a few years already. But this time, we really have nothing to help him with, or we have very little at that time. He said, would you like to help him so he can finish? I said, I'll call you back. I talked to my wife. We prayed. Now, we didn't give everything, but we set a certain amount. We feel like, all right, this is seed. So we sowed that seed. So we're also looking. When I remember the first the first one of the first few times that there was a special offering for real life during the Christmas Eve service. When I heard about it, I said, "Wow!" I said, "I looked at Dea. I said, Panga, this is a chance. How much should we be involved with this? Should we be involved with this? This is seed for tuition fee." Wow. And then Dea said, "All right, let's pray." And then we sowed the seed. Then TJ was going to go to high school. We asked around, "All right, where, TJ, where do you want to go?" I said, "All right, we'll look at La Salle, we'll look at Ateneo." I remember for the first time we looked at Ateneo, he asked, he took the entrance test, and while he's taking the entrance test, my wife is asking around how much, and it's 90 plus. And we're looking at each other, So 90 plus, next year plus 10%, we're looking at 100 by next year. By the time he graduates, how much is it going to be? So we went to La Salle, and it was not very far from that either. And we were praying, and we were praying. And God opened the door. He made it to Philippine Science, so he was a scholar. So there's many things, and sometimes it can be like that. Sometimes it doesn't have to be like that. We're sowing seeds. When somebody's in the hospital, we're asking questions. Lord, is this a time to sow seeds? Because you know how people say, save for a rainy day? I actually don't like that statement. Because I believe if you save for the rainy day, you will get the rainy day. But we do have savings, okay? So I'm not against it. But when somebody's in the hospital, we're asking, is this a time to sow seeds for our future? We're looking for chances. Opportunities. I remember we needed, my wife was wanting a second car. So we started asking, where do we sow seeds? We heard this pastor was raising money to buy a car. I called her, I said, honey, so-and-so is raising money to buy a car. Should we sow seeds? And he said, I think so. Let's go. So how much? Again, we didn't give everything. So we got this money and we gave it to the pastor. The Lord told us to bless you with this, to help you with your car. 1 month later, I get a call from a friend, said, Jure, I saw your wife walking one day, and this is a guy from another. He just happened to sleep with us that night, and my wife said that he'll go ahead, and my friend was walking outside, and he saw my wife walking up to get a ride because I was somewhere else. So I saw your wife walking the other day, and I said, I felt like the Lord told me she needs a car. I said, oh yeah, we know. He said, I have this car I'm selling. Now, why don't you just buy it? Maybe pay me whenever you can. And sold me at this ridiculous amount. So we got it. And it's many things that we do in life. I realized there are things that we talked about this in my life. There's things my wife likes. There's things I like. And we have a conclusion. It doesn't have to come from me. So now, we can challenge one another. Honey, you can ask for anything. Why? Because it doesn't have to come from me. It can come. It comes from God. Now, if it passes through me, praise God, I'll rejoice. But it doesn't have to come from me. We've realized a few things, like there's things I like, and my wife says, before she would say, but that's too much. And we have an agreement. It's not going to come from the budget. I said, and then she says, okay, so let's pray for it. It doesn't have to come from the budget. It's something we ask from God. We tell our kids this. You can ask for anything. Actually, we've tried to remove the word expensive from our home. Because with God, nothing is expensive. So I tell my kids, you can ask for anything as long as you ask God, not me. And they're challenged. Right. From vacations to my kids from their computer. I remember my TJ, 8 years old, wanting a computer. We were still in Iloilo. That I would try to get it installment, couldn't do it, tried to look for other ways. So we were telling, we realized the truth of the word. We shared it with TJ. First time I taught TJ how to tithe was, I think he was 8 years old. And because we discovered the truth of the word of God, and we were sharing it with him. And one day he was walking, he went out of the house to go to church with a bottle full of coins. I said, what are you going to do with that? He said, I'm going to put in the offering. I said, why? I'm believing God for a computer. That was his savings, 80 pesos worth of coins. I said, are you sure? He said, yes, I'm sure. So he puts it in the offering. I think a month later, somebody shows up in the house. He said, Pastor Jure, I just came from Manila. Somebody asked me to give this to you. There's a note. Jure, I just came from the U.S. I had some extra dollars. The Lord told me, I asked the Lord what to do with it. The Lord said, it's for you. So he gave me $500. So I told my son, we'll get your computer. When you get home, it will be here. So he was excited. So when he got home, he said, Dad, where's the computer? He said, it's in the room. He goes to the room, and he's saying, wow. And then he stops. Dad, I said, what's wrong? Where's the printer? I prayed for a computer and a printer. So I told him, just wait. It's coming. And about a month later, again, or some time later, I'm hosting a friend from Bacolod. I'm in Iloilo. We're going down the escalator. I'm going to go to lunch. He's ahead of me. I'm behind him. And he's going down. And he turns around and says, you know what? I need to give you a printer. I said, uh-huh. And he said, the next time you're in Bacolod, call me. I have a printer for you. And it's been a joy in that sense. And I can tell you, our dreams have begun to come alive little by little. We don't know how it's all going to happen. Our dream for a house, dream for other things. We don't know how it's all going to happen. But we know there's a word, there's a promise from God that can change things for us. It's changed so much for us. The Word of God is amazing. It wasn't given just so that you can be inspired. Now, thank God you get inspired when you read it. But the Word of God is more than just inspiration. It changes things. I can even with our, from the youngest to the oldest, applying the Word of God. I remember for a cousin that's been arguing, it's been difficult to share the gospel with him, and just praying, Lord, you said in your word, we know this. And then one time, I just get a call from him. He says, guess what? Somehow he showed up in Victory, in Alabama. I said, what? What happened? He said, I don't know. This guy was preaching, and I was, when he called for people to go up, I don't know what I did, but I went up. And I gave my heart to the Lord, and we're excited. We know stories like that. But God, some of those things, promises from God, from the Word, promises of healing. I guess one of the reasons why I have a lot of financial things to share with you, because that was where we were at that time. It was believing God for things we needed to do. 2 years ago, one of the exciting things my family endeavored to do was, we've been praying to go to Australia as a family. And it's been years that we've been praying. And we've been sowing seeds to this also. We hear somebody's going to go on a vacation. We ask, should we sow seeds of that, and we do sow seeds, and we ask, we give towards people, Christians or ministers who go to on vacation, and so we were praying for this. And 2 years ago, we talked about it. They said, "Is it time to go to Australia?" It started actually because my son went to the U.S. twice. That was a miracle in itself. So I said, "Honey, I'd like to bring two of our daughters to Australia in this summer." I said, two, three of us, yeah, I can believe God for that. And then and my wife said, okay. And then my my fourth child, my third daughter, Juliana, started feeling sad. She said, I want to go. I said, I'll take you some other time. And she's sad. And so my wife says, you gotta take her. I said, okay. All right, so I'll take her. Then my wife says, you know what? TJ is about to go to college. And when he's in college, he won't have the time anymore. So I think the two older girls will enjoy it if TJ is there. I said, okay. So there's now five of us. Then my wife says, wait a minute. I'm not going to stay home. Wait a minute. Said, all right. I said, okay. This is the deal. This was Christmas Eve. We were talking about this. This is the deal. We'll take a week to pray. I want us to ask the question, Lord, is it time? So by New Year's Eve, that was the conversation. As we prayed for the next year, that was the conversation. Is it time? And we all said, yes, we think it's time. So we started to put the work to it. We started to apply for a visa. I said, okay. The visa was, I think, what, 40 plus thousand for 8 of us. So I said, well, that's the first miracle. So we applied. The second miracle was getting the visa. It was approved. Then things started happening. People calling us. Pastor Jure, heard you're going to Australia. Can I send something? We'd like to bless you. Somebody calls again. Pastor Jure, heard that you're going to Australia. The Lord told us to give you this. We went there. And when we came back, we had more money than when we went. God is amazing. And we enjoyed everything. And it was a joy. In the plane, we were just thanking God for everything. This is amazing. This is something we've been praying for years. God can do it. The Word of God is the promise of God. And we'll end with the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through Him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. I get overwhelmed sometimes trying to make promises to our children, to our kids, but I realize God's not overwhelmed. The amazing thing is, I'm amazed with God because before I was born, God made the promises. Before any of us was born, God made the promises. Somebody told me one time, said, I don't like preachers. So I don't like preachers who, faith, prosperity preachers. I said, why? Because they make God their genie. I said, what do you mean they make God their genie? They just keep asking God for things. And I just kept quiet until I realized, hey, I didn't make these promises. I didn't ask for these promises. Before I was born, before even I was a thought in my parents, before any of us was born, God made the promises. All I'm doing is getting this word and saying, hey, God, this is, ito pala yung sinabi mo, Lord. Ito pala yung gusto mo gawin, Lord. So, ang ginagawa ko lang, Lord, hingin ko lang naman sa'yo. Ikaw naman nagsabi nito. Hindi ko naman kailangan balyahin ka. Hindi ko naman kailangan pilitin ka. I don't have to bribe you. You're the one who said this. So I'm simply asking for the Word of God. It's amazing. All right. We'll take a break from there. And we'll ask some questions before the third session. And then we'll finish up.